And let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. If you've got a church Bible, it's page 1184. And this is a great passage about the newness of life in a Christian, the response that ought to be going on in us. So Colossians 3, verses 1 to 14. Jared's going to come and read.
Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Amen.
Let's hope everything holds together. In tonight's instalment of Pilgrim's Progress, we see a subtle ambush. We see an outright attack. And we come across a dodgy geezer. Before we check where we're up to, though, let me pray briefly. Father, we pray that we would be serious about the things of the Christian walk. We pray that we would be watchful and careful in our walk with you in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would be growing to be spiritually minded people, full of discernment and wisdom. We pray that we would, even tonight, Lord, see more the beauty of the newness of life that you call us to, the new and living way that you have put us on, and you would strengthen us in our affection for Christ, we pray. Amen. So, does anyone remember where we're up to on the Pilgrim's Progress journey? Oh, we've got a different colour coming on. Anyone remember? This could be embarrassing, couldn't it? Yes, Annabeth. Ditch pathway, this one here? Yes, well done. Just out of the valley, yeah? So we were, last time, from valley to valley, or two valleys actually, there they are, that Christian's journey, the valley of humiliation, battle with Apollyon, then the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, just such a difficult time. And this is Christian's journey so far. This is where we're up to, and we're going to pick up in a moment. Just think about if you're a Christian, maybe you've been Christian for years, even if you're a young Christian, think about your Christian journey so far. And just in your mind, is there any overlap? We've got here, we've got this, haven't we? All this should overlap. Any overlap in your minds? Is there a moment you are convicted and the cross loomed large to you? Maybe you've been in a despairing moment, a bog of despair. Maybe there was that time you really woke up to the power of the law. You suddenly realized how wonderful God's law is, but actually how convicting and powerful it is. Or maybe, like Christian last time, you've been through a really, really difficult time. And your journey, you think, actually, yes, there's real similarities. What about today? If you were on there now, where might you be? Would it fit at all for you today? Some of us may feel like we're at the hill of difficulty. Some of you are beyond Christian. He's just come out of the valley of the shadow. And you actually have beyond, we've got Doubting Castle to come. And the Enchanted Ground. Look forward to when we cover these. Very poignant pictures of the two contrasting struggles older Christians can have as they get closer to glory. A real doubt of assurance, or just becoming really, really sleepy, just waiting for glory. And just thinking, on your journey so far, so your Christian journey, just in your mind again, what are some of the highlights? What are some of the really good things that you have experienced and are experiencing? Well, I think one of them, and I hope one of them, is the same as Christians today. And that is fellowship. Relationships are the stuff of life, aren't they? It's very important. But there is something better even than friendship. And it's fellowship. Which is friendship with somebody who's a Christian. So it's friendship in Christ. And it's better because it's a friendship with a deeper and greater joys than can be found on this earth. Fellowship is a wonderful thing. It is a brilliant gift to know fellowship as Christians. And we've already seen it as Christian meets, this is last time we picked this up. Yes. As Christian meets this person, do you remember his name? Call it out and it'll keep you awake. You gotta be louder. Yeah. Faithful. That was great, Luke. Thanks. Yeah, faithful. So once Christian had passed through these two valleys, there was Faithful ahead of him, another Christian from his hometown. And Faithful was the one in the valley who he heard speaking Psalm 23. He didn't actually have a great start with Faithful. Again, we did this last time. Because when he saw him, he called out. And Faithful said, I'm not stopping for anybody. You're going to have to catch me up. And so he ran. Christian was a decent runner. Because not only ran, but he went past him. And he looked back. And it says he looked back with a prideful glance. A feeling, just read my Bible a little bit more than someone else. Go to the prayer meeting more than that person. So it was there, isn't it? Such a slippery thing, pride. What happened to Christian as soon as he gave that prideful glance? Do you remember? Thank you, Jared. It's so obvious. We just need someone to say it. I'm going to keep you awake, guys. Thank you. Yeah, he fell. Pride comes before a fall. So not a great first impression with Faithful, but Christians aren't out to impress each other. There's a difference from the world, isn't there? Christians ought to be very quick to forgive and overlook an error. Again, that's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. It's a wonderful thing about fellowship. We overlook an error. And we sort it out and move on and so on. And so once Faithful picked him up, what began between Faithful and Christian was a great friendship. Fellowship. And there's nothing better than walking with Christ, really. But you could say walking with Christ with another Christian in this earth in close fellowship is wonderful. Having a Christian friend with whom you can be open and honest and pray together, share deeply, read the word together, encourage, be encouraged. It is gold. As they walk, they talk. They first talk about home. They actually talk about Pliable. So that was way back. You might remember Pliable. He turned back at the swamp of despair. And since he'd gone back to the city, faithful, told Christian that actually he's been having a really tough time. He's been mocked, despised by unbelievers. He is worse off than if he'd stayed at home. People were calling him traitor, saying he's weak, he's neither in or he's neither out. I won't go into this now, but the allegory Bunyan's setting up is the kind of, it's better if a person hadn't heard than a person's heard and turned back, like a dog returning to its vomit, that sort of thing. They share stories, and we know Christian's story so far. We're going to hear Faithful's today. And interestingly, Faithful, although on the same road as Christian, let's get the map back, actually experiences things quite differently. And this is really interesting. So this is obviously the map of Christian's journey. Faithful's, let's say their paths are the same, but the experiences are different. So for Faithful, there was no bog of despair, no swamp of despair. There was no detour up Mount Sinai to the side of the swamp there. There was no, there was a gate, but when he got there, he had other things instead of these. We'll come to those in a moment. And this is because, though there is much crossover in our Christian walk together, our journeys are not the same, are they? So what I struggle with might not be your struggle. And your struggles might not be the same as the person sitting next to you. They are common to all of us, but there are particular ones as well. We have experiences, we have besetting sins that differ, which is why we shouldn't judge each other. That was one of the reasons. And why we mustn't ever inwardly gloat. We'd only do it inwardly, wouldn't we? Over a brother or sister struggling in sin. Saying inside, kind of, what are they like? Or even close to that. Because we're different from each other. We experience things differently. We struggle in different ways. So we must be loving and gentle with one another, bearing with one another. So let's hear Faithful's story. So Faithful says, no, there was no swamp of despair. That was fine. But I did meet a woman. And her name was Wanton. Wanton, easier to understand, modern day, lust. Not modern, but easy to understand. Her name was Lust. And so what we're going to begin to see now is Faithful's struggles are not like Christian's. Christian's struggles are more, probably character and so on, they're more with confidence, with fear, depression. That was the valley stuff particularly. Faithful's struggles are more with worldliness, the lust of the flesh. And we're going to see this. And wanton is a symbol of all lust and sexual immorality. And Faithful said, yeah, this lady Wanton came up to me and she was offering, she was flattering me. She was enticing me. You deserve this and you deserve that. Again, it's just classic sin, isn't it? The devil's wiles. Promising pleasure. He's not forcing, making someone say, you know, oh, well, I better sin then. That sort of thing. Rather, it's a really subtle ambush, isn't it? It's luring. And Faithful says, Christian, I'll tell you, unless you've experienced her, you could never imagine how she tempted me. All the many ways she tempted me, promising me every kind of happiness. But she couldn't offer me, or offer you, actually, Christian says this, but she couldn't offer you the happiness a good conscience brings, could she? And Bunyan, in this really important bit, presses home the emptiness of lust. Yes, it offers a type of pleasure, but it's fleeting. It doesn't last. It isn't rich and true like spiritual pleasures. Instead, actually, it steals the good stuff. The joy that comes through obedience, the joy that comes through a closeness with Christ, assurance, a happy and a light spirit is of far greater weight. So Richard Sibbs, another Puritan like Bunyan, said a bad conscience is like hell on earth. You can go to any place on earth. It could be the nicest. You go on holiday somewhere, whatever. If you've got a bad conscience, you're just locked up. That's so true, isn't it? It is not the place any Christian wants to be. You can't shake a bad conscience. But a good conscience, he continues, is like heaven on earth. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Greater joys are found in following and obeying Jesus. And we should think on these joys when fighting these sorts of temptations. So, thank the Lord you escaped her, said Christian to Faithful. Well, said Faithful, I'm not sure I did. Physically I did, like Joseph, I ran, but my heart, I felt a pull of my heart of steps that lead down to hell. Proverbs 5 is being quoted here. So Faithful says, yeah, I mean, I escaped that time, but I'm not sure I have fully. Sexual immorality is more sinister and more serious, isn't it, a sin? Because it doesn't just bring judgment, which sin obviously does, but it is God's judgment. Romans chapter 1, man given over to sinful sexual desires, depravities of all sorts. Well, says Christian, who else did you meet? Well, at the foot of the hill of difficulty, I met a man. Just pause for a minute. Does anyone remember who Christian met? And this is pushing things a bit with the answering questions. Here's the hill of difficulty. Here's the base of it. Do you remember who Christian was with at that time? You never knew there was going to be a test today, so you won't be marked down much. Oh, good try. Oh, well, was worldly wise man. You got me now. I think he was slightly earlier. Because I've got the name of the two here, and it's not him. But I think he was slightly, yeah, thanks, Jared, to keep me on my toes. Fire the questions back. It was two who snuck in. And this again, I don't know about you, but it's the wall climbers. So there was a bit where the path of salvation had walls, and these two climbed over the wall. And a wonderful picture, isn't it? They're not going via the cross. They want to be on salvation, the path, but not the cross, not counting the cost. And so at this point, Christian was with hypocrisy and formal religion from the town of empty glory. And at the hill, they, of course, this is, you know, the parable of the sower stuff, isn't it? They saw the hill and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a bit tough. And they went round and ended up in the path to destruction. A path to danger, never seen again. So this was the hill as well where Christian temporarily lost his scroll. He fell asleep on the bench, didn't he? He lost his assurance. But Faithful, again, it's a different experience. Same place, different experience. He didn't meet any of these. He met this person. Yes. Press the button. Oh, wow, did you see that? There we go. The old man, the old man, called Adam the First. And Adam the First said to Faithful, come and stay with me. Come on, I'll pay you great wages. I'll leave you a good inheritance when I die. I've got three daughters, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is the terrible trio mentioned in 1 John 2:16. You can marry them. You will be happy. You have all you want. What did you do? Said Christian. Well, said Faithful, I was tempted because it seemed good. But then he says, I saw on Adam's forehead the words, put off the old self with its practices, Colossians 3. And I knew, and I was reminded, I must be done with the deeds of the flesh. He says, searing in my mind came the realization if I went with Adam, as soon as I would get into his house, I would become his slave. And of course, Faithful was wise, wasn't he? And this man represents all those who are still in Adam, who live by the flesh and not by the spirit. Romans 7. And Christians are no longer in Adam. We're in Christ now. We've got a new master, a new governor. But like the last escape, so again, there's a real theme with Faithful, isn't there? The traps and snares present really well. They don't seem to be traps, but actually kind of quite good, but obviously they're illusions. They're distortions of good things. And Faithful knew enough that if he gave his flesh an inch, it would take him a mile. That's what sin does, isn't it? It always takes us further than we want to go. It makes us pay more than we want to pay. That's what sin does. Faithful said, I asked him to stop asking me. So Faithful would realize, let me just stop and start walking away. But the old man threatened me, he said. And he said he'd send someone after me. And as I turned to leave, he reached out and grabbed me. And he gave my flesh, important word, such a pinch that as I went, it felt like he still had hold of me. So he pinched him, he got away, but he felt like he was holding him still. Again, like Bunyan is conveying the truth, and this is so, we need to know this and be mindful of it through the week, that the world has something on us. It does. We are never free from its desires. Sin is with us all the time until glory. If we don't know that, we are going to find ourselves slipping up. And the thing with Faithful here is he did the right thing, of course. That is good. But what he discerned was, though he was obeying by going away from wanton and going away from Adam, actually, he realized he wasn't hating sin as he ought. And this is a great reminder. Again, Bunyan just gets us deep to think. Our walk with Christ is not just of the hands. It's of the heart. Turning from sin is good. That is a good thing to do. But we're also called to hate sin. So when we turn from sin, are we turning from it reluctantly? We're glancing back, that sort of thing. Lot's wife. We can turn from sin, and we ought to. That is good. But we can turn reluctantly rather than joyfully. And it kind of still has us. That's the pinch thing. Think of a marriage. It's great to do the right thing, isn't it, by your spouse. But something's wrong, and something will go wrong, if it's all head and no heart. If we're just doing, functioning, rather than loving. It's got to be in here, hasn't it? Faithful continued. I went on up the hill and was about at the bench where, this is where Christian fell asleep. Then I realized the one Adam said he'd send after me was coming after me. And he moved so fast. And he bashed me such a blow that down I went. After I came to, asked, what on earth was that for? It was for your secret leaning towards Adam. And he bopped me again. After I recovered from this one, I said, mercy. He said, I don't know how to show mercy. And again, he thumped me to the ground. Who is this? Begins with M. Moses. Moses. It's a bit surprising, isn't it? I don't like to think of it like this, but we need to know this. Who brings the law? And the law brings condemnation. And said, Faithful, I think he would have killed me had not someone intervened. Who was that? Asked Christian. Do we know? Who intervened? Who alone takes away the law's condemnation? I am going to wait for an answer now. I'll whisper it. Yeah, Jesus, he takes away the condemnation of the law. That is wonderful. So Faithful continued. I was on the floor, I was a bit dazed. I couldn't really see who it was who rescued me, but I saw he had marks in his hands. And I realized it was our Lord. Again, Christian, do you know that strong conviction the law brings? Have you had the moment where it can be almost overwhelming? You could just be crushed with guilt were it not for God's mercy in Jesus Christ, which triumphs over judgment. So again this week, when the law convicts you, if you're a Christian, it will. Because when you sin, you'll know you've sinned. And you more think on it, you'll know which command you've broken. And you can either just get crushed under that, or you can call to Christ. I've fallen again, lift me up, forgive me. He paid the price, didn't he? He takes away the condemnation of the law. So keep turning to Christ. They continued chatting together. Christian asking, did you see the house at the top of the hill? Yes, I did. And I saw lions. They were asleep. Again, that's interesting, isn't it? The lions didn't bother faithful. Again, there's a kind of a more of a confidence in faithful. It's a different character, isn't it, to Christian. But faithful says, they were asleep. I saw the house, but it was noon. I wanted to press on and keep going. And this, by the way, if you're interested, is how faithful got ahead of Christian. That was at a point where Christian was in the house. Palace beautiful. And Christian says, oh, I wish you'd stopped. We could have met up in the house. I saw so many things there that were so helpful. And then Christian says, well, what about the valley? What happened to you there? Oh, the valley. I met someone in the valley called Discontent. And this man, although professing to be a Christian, just had no joy. He's just grumbling. He's always had something to complain about. And discontent is so important. He shows us, doesn't he, the sadness and the danger of trying to walk the narrow way, but it's with a limp. If we're not contented in Christ, we're just constantly walking in a really weird way, leaning this way to the things of the world, leaning at times this way to Christ. That is not how a Christian is to live. But, says faithful, discontent was particularly complaining about the narrowness of the narrow way. Why does it have to be like this? Why does my religion have to be, you know, as tight as it is and so on? And he was all about what others thought of him. So discontent said to faithful, I mean, think of your family and your friends. What do they think of you? Where's the honour in this walk? Where's the honour in the valley we've just been through? Or they were in together, actually, sorry, at the time, discontent and faithful. Well, said faithful, they were my friends and family, and they still are my family, but my past relationships are in the past, really. I'm a new person. I used to think like this about the way we're on, but actually, that man died, and actually, humility now comes before honour. So he's saying, like, I'd rather be humble before the Lord than honoured before man. Discontent is confused. My God, it matters, doesn't it? What people think of us? It's a big deal. Yeah, it's important, but aren't we more concerned what Christ thinks of us? Isn't it what God thinks of us, pleasing him, that matters more? Christians are new. Christians have a new outlook. So Luther said, when Satan comes and knocks on the door asking for Luther, I tell him he no longer lives here. A man of God lives here now. It's Luther's take. And contentment is found in Christ. It's found in the honour that comes from God, not from the world. It is found in trusting God's words, valuing Christ's view more than pleasing and the view of other people. This is how we fight sin, isn't it? With a superior pleasure. There's more joy to be had in obedience than disobedience. That is something we want growing in us, constantly working in us. And if we don't know this joy of obedience, then actually we need to get to that place. We ought not to settle for a shallow happiness, the kind of desire to please others, concerned what others think of us and over what Christ thinks of us. We should want honour. That's right to want honour, but it's the honour Christ gives. So Faithful sought, we can see in the picture with a handout, he sought to distance himself from discontent. And as a brother or sister who is discontented, lovingly maybe we have to do that. We want to talk, and like he did, but how we deal with that is quite important, really, in our own walk, how we help them as well. Christian says to Faithful, did you see anyone else in the valley? Yeah, I did. I met a man called Shane. Now, again, this is another person Christian didn't meet, reminding us of the areas Faithful had, the kind of weaknesses of character that Faithful had compared to Christian. And Shane claimed to be a Christian, but he was ashamed to be a Christian or to be known as a Christian by certain other people. So Shane, they got chatting, talked about how he hid his faith in certain places, you know, at different times in his life. He knew what the world thought of Christianity. Shane didn't want to be laughed at. He didn't want to be thought of as weak and pathetic. He didn't want to have to forgive people as well, or be associated with some of the people in his church and so on. And Faithful said, you know, he was talking to Christian about this, I didn't quite know what to say to Shane to begin with. He actually almost had me beaten. But I began to think, now Lord help me. And I thought, what is highly regarded by men is detestable in God's eyes. Shame, you see, shame could tell me what men are like, men and women of the world. But shame could tell me nothing of God. I know what God says is best, even if the world is against it. And I know that shame is an enemy of salvation. And this is a sharp thing, isn't it? Because we feel it. With certain people, it's true. Just painful if it was known that we're Christians. Particularly painful in workplaces where it's very frowned upon and may affect opportunities and so on. And it is actually, though, a concern. If we are more concerned about the approval of other people than of Christ, and how shall we be welcomed on that day by Jesus if we're ashamed of him now? Jesus says those words, doesn't he, to that effect. And they're strong. And we want to take them to heart. So these were Faithful's particular trials. Lust, worldliness, pleasures of the flesh, approval of others, different struggles to Christians. Interesting, there's no Apollyon. Christian fought the dragon there, didn't he? The ancient serpent. And so Christian and Faithful walked and they talked, sharing fellowship, iron, kind of sharpening iron. This was their experience of fellowship. It was just joyful. They were learning from each other. They were refreshing each other. And as they did, they noticed a way off. And we're going to finish with this. We're going to start. We're not going to finish this bit. We're going to finish with this. They noticed another person walking the same way as them. And Bunyan says that the man was rather better looking from a distance than from close up. And this comment, which of course sounds a bit rude, is a telling one. Because in true Bunyan style, this is not about outer appearance. It is actually a very, very sharp comment to us as well. That we don't want to be people who are better from a distance than when others get to know us. All surface, no depth. This is where this is going. But what happens is they gain what seems to be another companion. And this man gets a decent bit of airtime in the book, which is why we're not going to go all the way. He gets a lot of airtime in the Pilgrim's Progress book. Perhaps it's because the author couldn't get a word in edgeways. Do you know who this person was? Good try. No, not Worldly Wiseman. Does anyone know where Worldly Wiseman comes? Is it later? Yeah, okay, yes. From the town of something or other. I think you might be right. Let's check it. Thanks, Sam. Sam, pretty good on the Pilgrim's Progress. This is talkative. Talkative. Some of you looking at the clock and thinking, Ben. But just to finish here, we weren't going to cover this much. Now, talkative is on the same road. Talkative loves to talk about spiritual things. And he says some really good things as well. Talkative seems like he wants to learn. He seems like he knows the big stuff. Like he knows about righteousness, repentance, regeneration. He knows about grace alone. And faithful starts getting pretty excited about this new friend. He says to Christian, "Whoa, this guy's good, isn't he? This is great." Christian's like, "Whoa, I know this man." "What, you know him?" Yeah. I know him better than he knows himself. Christian isn't boasting. What's coming is a kind of sad truth, really. He's from our town. He comes from where we come, but he lived near my street. "He used to live near you?" "Yeah, he did, yeah." "But he seems great," says Faithful. "Yeah, he does, to those who don't actually know him. But at home, he's ugly. Ugly enough. He'll charm anyone with his tongue. Anyone who knows him not." "Are you serious?" says Faithful. "Yeah, I'm serious. He talks to whoever and whenever, even when he's drunk, because religion has no place in his heart. It's all talk. His religion is to make a noise. His faith lies entirely in his words, but there's no power in his life." And again, Bunyan is just so insightful. He just gets under the skin of the things that we struggle with. Because this talkative guy is either us, or at times has been us. The one who knows Christian things, they might be interested in apologetics, maybe obscure facts often about scripture, but there's no real love for Christ. There's no real hatred for sin. There's no prayer. There's no spiritual progress. There's a lot, sounds like a lot's going on, but there's not a lot going on. Jesus' parable, isn't it? Matthew 23. Those who say, but then don't do anything. Who know spiritual things, but in word only. And so the conversation goes on. Great, greater church, but out and about, as Bunyan puts it, a devil at home. Sounds good, does talkative, but when the cameras are off, the real person comes out. And there are a number of things here that were said. I'm going to save it for next time. We'll pick it up at talkative next time. The headline, really, though, of him is what we say, what we do must match. It's called integrity. James, true religion is what? It is too, and he talks about helping, doing good. It's about a life that matches a mouth. Talkative thinks hearing and saying make him a good Christian, but he's about to be very surprised when the conversation, and Faithful is going to lead the conversation next time, turns it to a changed life. The mechanics of the heart. Sorry, time is gone, so we'll save that conversation. But just to say, talkative people are everywhere. Lots of talk, but not that leads to godliness. And this is something we can finish with, and we need to be careful of, don't we? Next time, talkative, exposed, Vanity Fair, and a death. That's next time.